Welcome to Inside Windows Platform. I'm Larry Lieberman. I'm a program manager here at Microsoft. With me today is Shen Chowan. We're going to talk to you a little bit about some of the issues you might approach as a Windows developer.
Yeah, so today's topic is app services.
App services. This is a really good one.
Yeah, it is. So we should probably explain what app services is first before we start getting deep into code.
Right. Well, we've always had the notion of a background agent. For a long time, we've had this concept where you can create a separate component of your code that runs in the background on a periodic basis or on a trigger-based basis. But what we've done in Windows 10 is extended that notion.
Yeah. So in essence, I suppose when we think about applications, let's think about it as a data economy in some sense, because we all have loads of apps on our devices. And one of the things we want to do is essentially try and reduce the amount of calls that all the apps do. Mm-hmm. And maybe they could just talk to one another to fetch information. Let's take a weather app as a classic example. So I might have a weather app on my phone, and then I'll also have a hiking app, maybe a cycling app, and a calendar. Now, the one thing that all these applications do is they all make a web service call to some maybe third-party API and, you know, on the web to fetch weather information. Now, what would be great, actually, is if we just had maybe just the weather app getting that information and then just sharing the data on the weather. And the other apps can just call in and say, hey, you know, what's the weather looking like today?
So basically what you're describing is that we've added the ability for other applications to call the background agent of one specific application.
And they don't have to be from the same publisher. This is the great thing. So, you know, publishers can sort of say, well, I'm going to open up this service. And they've just got a document saying, you know, hey, developers of other apps, if you want to use this service, you're more than welcome to. And here's a name and here's, you know, the publishing data you need to connect to us.
I actually think a better scenario might be the one where a line of business application.
Yes.
Because in an enterprise, you're building all sorts of different types of software that might have to access similar data that gets synchronized on a periodic basis and brought down from the network or the internet. And so therefore, it would make a lot of sense to have one background agent that's running on a trigger basis to perform those operations against a single store that could be shared across all these different applications.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we can probably go through a quick demo and maybe take one of those scenarios.
I'd love to see how you did this.
So the scenario I'm going to go for here
is it's a very, it's purposefully been made much more simple for the purposes of demonstration.
Correct. Like we've oversimplified this just so we can show you guys exactly how this works. So the common scenario here is I have an app. It's a grocery shop. I can do all my grocery shopping. I can type in, you know, like what I want to buy, and it just delivers. Fantastic. The other thing, though, is this app doesn't have the notion of creating a shopping list. But actually, I've developed a second app that allows me just to make a list of things. And what that second app is going to do is it's going to go and query the data that I type in this text box and fetch prices for me from the actual original grocery shop. So the first thing I want to show you is probably just the grocery shop. This actually doesn't do much. So if I just set that as a starter project here and we load this up, as you can see, it's a fantastic user interface right there.
You can imagine exactly what's here, similar to what you see when you go online and shop for groceries.
Correct. And one thing you'll notice, though, is I actually have a background task here that's associated with this grocery shop. So you can see my references there. I have the grocery shop background.
Right.
The reason why I have to do this is actually because this application might not be running when my other application calls into it, so I create a background task. And the one thing I need to do is I need to go to the package app manifest. And in there, I have to declare an app service.
And it would make a lot of sense to have a background agent that actually goes and fetches information about frequently purchased items and prices on a periodic basis for just the grocery shop application.
Because correct.
It might want to go do this on a periodic basis in the background and maintain that in the cache locally so that you don't have to worry about being online.
Exactly. So here when we have the app service, I give it a name. We generally recommend like a reverse domain because you want it unique across the whole device and other devices. And then I have an entry point. So you'll see here my entry point is the grocery shop background.grocery. And actually that is...
It's like a namespace, basically.
That is exactly. It's the namespace for this particular class here in my background task. So there's a lot of code here. So let's just quickly walk you through this. So the first thing I do is have a... implementing the iBackground task. It is a sealed class. It has to be sealed, otherwise you will get you know, all the usual lovely messages. And when you implement that interface, you'll get this run method here with this iBackground task instance. So the first thing I do is I get a deferral. This is just basically saying, you know what, I maybe use async await calls, and I don't want you to just randomly exit on me because I'm still processing information.
Right.
And the next thing I do is I also have wire up the canceled event, because there is a chance that maybe, for whatever reason, this task gets canceled, and I just basically complete that as well. So this is just general housekeeping, just mm-hmm. make sure you know you're being a good citizen on the platform.
Basic good coding practices make sure that your process has ability to get out of itself.
Correct, yeah, because you don't want to hold on to that deferral if you're not using it. So the next thing I do is I get the trigger details. Now, in this case, this will just come back as an object, so I have to cast it to an app service trigger details. So it's a very specific type of trigger. It's not like your other triggers where it's maybe timer-based or waiting for network connection. This is purely based on an app service trigger. And then from there, I'm going to get the connection. So what this connection really just does is it allows us to understand, where the information's coming from. And then based on that connection, I'm going to say, hey, if anyone requests some information from me on this connection, I want you to go and fire off this event. And this is pretty much where the magic happens. Mm-hmm. So what you'll see here
And you're not necessarily doing everything here that you would do in the real case of the app.
No, absolutely not. This is just very basic sort of scenario-driven code that we've got here. So you can see, again, I get a deferral because I need to make sure that things are held on to as long as possible for us to do our computation. And it's very similar to like a HTTP response request type thing. So you can see here, I have the args in this case, which is the app service request received event args, mm-hmm. conveniently named. And I get the request property. And on that property, there is a message property. And it has this thing called a value set. Think mm-hmm. of a value set like a list of key value pairs. That's essentially what it really is.
That's the information the calling application has provided to
the backend. Yeah, when you do an app service, it's always a value set in a lot of sense. But the types in there could be an object, so you can mix it up if you need to carry a lot of information. And all I'm basically just doing in here is saying, hey, you know what? I want you to go and look up prices for me. That's the whole aim of this process. So at the top here, you'll see I have a dictionary of groceries. And you can see in the dictionary I have various fruit and
their
prices. And you
just manually type them in for now?
Yeah, I'm hard-coding them in. I mean, I'm
you
assuming people won't do this.
You probably call web service and deserialize JSON to get the values from...
You'd do something a bit more magical and meaningful for your line of business app or for your application. But in essence, the rudimentary thing here is, all I'm doing is I'm looking up in that dictionary and saying, hey, you know what? Can you find this particular item by its key? And if so, I want you to create a response message similarly how you do with HTTP. And I want you to add, again, it's a value set. You'll see the response message, again, is a value set. And I just send back a key value pair just from my dictionary. So once I've now filled up my response message and I'm ready to send it, I basically call on the event args. I send the response async, with my response message. Mm-hmm. And I await that because it is async. And then once I'm done, I just call the deferral.complete. So what's happened here is, in essence, a request has come through. I've then understood what's in the value set. And then I've gone to do a lookup in my own data set in this background app. And I've just filled out a response, and I've sent the return message back without having to open this application. So that's essentially what happens at the grocery store side in terms of receiving a message and processing it. But what about the Notes application? Well, let's show you what happens in this Notes application. So I'm going to set this now as a startup project. And you'll see here I've got my notes. So I'm just going to type in, we had apples, oranges, pears, bananas. I'm just going to go pars here. Obviously, you'd probably use something a bit more user-friendly rather than pars. But you click that. And what's happened is it's gone off to that service. So you can see here that it's
pretty
easy to do. Those
are some expensive apples.
They are. I mean, it's $799 for an apple, eh? Might be a bit much. Maybe we don't need those apples. There you go. So one thing you can do here is actually also break into this. So let's also do that. So when you right-click and go to the properties of your grocery shop, in the debug tab here, you'll see do not launch, but debug my code when it starts, which is kind of cool. So in essence, it's a cool feature, especially when you're trying to debug background services. I'm going to set this one as a startup project. I'm just going to run the debugger. So now the debugger is running. And I'm going to. I'm not going to set a breakpoint. Let's just put it somewhere here, just so we can prove that we've got it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to fire up my Notes app. And I'm just going to go pairs. And if I hit pass, there you go. So now I'm actually stepping into the background process of this app service. And I can basically go through the whole application and understand what it's doing. And you can probably see here on my request message. It's a non-native view, might be more difficult to see. But in essence, if I have a look at the item there, you'll see I've got pairs.
Because you haven't compiled to native yet.
Correct, yeah. So you can see here I've got my key zero and pairs is what I've asked for. So now let's go into my Notes app, which is the bit that did the parsing and did the connection. How do we set up the connection to this background process? So I'm going to set this one as a starter project now. And let's go to, in essence, I do a lot of the heavy lifting in main page. So you'll see here, if I just quickly show you the XAML, it's pretty simple, nothing too complicated. We have a list view, which is the items on the right, which is bound to a collection called items. I have a notes text box and a parse button. So let's first go to the parse button click. The first thing I do is I clear the collection, because if you hit parse multiple times, I don't want it, you know, right, accumulating more and more. Now this is the important bit. So I create a service connection. This is saying here, it's like a connection string. So I'm saying here's a connection string essentially for my app service. So this name has to match what was in the package manifest previously on the grocery store app.
Right. And so the key thing about this is that if you want to publish a service that you make available to other people, these values have to be publicly available somehow.
Correct. Yes.
There is no discovery service, so that means publishing them yourself, which is why this is really a feature that I think people will use for their own suite of applications.
Correct.
Rather than publishing to other developers.
Yeah, exactly. And then the package family name is also the other piece of information you need. Now let me show you very quickly how to get the package family name, because it's not so straightforward.
Is it tied to getting a name in the store?
Yeah, well, actually, so this app isn't linked to the store just yet, but eventually, yeah. So I have the package ID here, and essentially all you just have to do is package current.id, mm-hmm. And when you run this up.
In the debugger, you can determine what it is.
Yeah.
There's no other way to find it.
There,
huh?
Is another way, actually. I think my app's already running, but the other way to actually do this is when you right-click and deploy, you'll see in the output window, it'll give you the name of the app. So let's just give that a quick. So you'll see here, if you take that information there, mm-hmm. and actually just trim off the
wow.
version number and the architecture, then it's basically this GUID here, underscore, and then the last piece is here. So that's the other way you can do it. And you'll see it matches quite nicely with what we saw there. So now that I have my connection set up, the first thing I need to do is I need to open the connection. Now, there is a possibility that the app might not be installed. So you can see here I've got a few checks. I say, hey, if the app's not installed, I then create an error message. The app service might not be available. There is a chance that, you know, your app could exit because of resources on the device, so you want to check for that too. And there's unknown. At this point, you really don't know what's happening, so I just do a very basic error message. So now I have a connection open. The next thing I need to do is I need to take the data from the notes text box, and I just quickly parse over it. So I do a very rudimental string split, and I just say, if it's a new line, just remove the empties, and I want you to create, basically, it's an array of strings. And the same way before, where we had a value set, so like a list of key value pairs, we create a value set for the information we want to send into the background service.
Right.
So here I create a new message, and it's just numbered. It has to be unique key. So I just create a number for every item, and then I just pass the item through. And then the final thing I do is here. I send the message async. So I take the connection and I say, hey, I want you to send this particular request off. And then I wait for the response. So the background service essentially takes the information that I sent, and then it'll respond back with its response message. And all I do here is I just check the status to make sure that it was a pass. So in this case, I need to check for error messages. I'm assuming if it errors out, I return it. If not, everything's gone great. And I just process that information. And all you can see here is I'm just adding to the collection, mm-hmm. the list view is bound to, with a shopping item based on the key and the value. And that's pretty much it. So it's a very powerful thing you can do. But I think once you've got this set up, essentially we've had to wire up both sides of the apps. But if you only have to wire one side, you can see it's not too bad.
Well, this is a really powerful mechanism for developers to actually extend the functionality of their app and save resources on the device by centralizing specific tasks that multiple applications might need to be able to access into one specific package that gets run once and managed from one specific application. So that's it for this week on Inside Windows Platform. Hope you found this useful, and we'll talk to you again next time.
All right. See you soon.